Time to pull up a chair and talk some Dynasty football. I'm your host, JJ Wenner, and this is the Rider Dynasty Podcast. Tonight, we bring you instant impact rookies, the rookies we believe will have the greatest impact on your 2022 championship goals. We have quite a panel assembled today, as always, starting with my co-host. When he's not dealing with an infant or hanging with the Dynasty Dork screw, you can find him on Twitter at JFHornets25. Justin, how are you doing, brother?
Happy hump day, Rod Potters. I'm glad to be here, ready to rock it with Santiago and Mauricio, and my boy Rob is here today, so I'm excited. Let's roll.
Awesome. And back after a long absence, when he's not dealing with clients or a move or his own toddler, you can find him on Twitter at the Roto Rob. It's Rob Mongol. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, man. Excited to be back. Excited to be done moving. And, man, that intro song feels a little different when you get to talk after. It puts a little pressure on you, hypes you up. I'm ready to talk some football.
Well, I'm ready to talk some football, and I'm ready to introduce our illustrious guests. First up, a longtime friend of the Rod Pod. In fact, I'm pretty sure you have been our most frequent guest. He's the brains behind Broto Fantasy and a mathematical, I said it, so you can't disagree, a mathematical genius. You can find him on Twitter at BrotoFF Casanova. Santiago, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing all right. It's been a while since I've been on the pod, so happy to be back.
We are always glad to have you. And now, pulling up a chair for the first time on the Rod Pod, you may know him from his amazing content on NFL.com or his rankings from Fantasy Pros. Or, si habla español por su trabajo con EstadioFantasy.com, I know him from the King's Classic, and he is truly one of the most respected analysts out there. You can find him on Twitter at MGutierrezNFL. It's Mauricio. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm great, very happy, and excited to be here with you guys and to build up that rookie hype.
Oh, man, it's built, and I'm ready for this season. I don't know about anybody else, but, like, the first game's this weekend, and I'm feeling a little tingle in the football loins.
Yeah, we're going to have a game, actually. We have to be excited.
Have to be. Now, might as well just jump right to it. Justin, let's check on the news.
Yeah, so it's everybody's least favorite topic leading in on this bright Wednesday here in Virginia, but it's the Deshaun Watson news that the NFL did come out and appeal the decision by Honorable Rodriguez on the six games. Mauricio, what are your thoughts here? What does this do to the Browns? Now, this gets messy, and obviously we could get into a lot of the legal ramifications and league ramifications, but just from a fantasy perspective, where are you at?
Well, we have to wait, right, to the appeal. The NFL, I think it's aiming for an indefinite suspension. That'd be the worst-case scenario for the Browns and fantasy football. I think Amari Cooper could be good with Jacoby Brissett, probably David Njoku as well. But with Deshaun Watson on the field, David Njoku probably could be a top 12 tight end. Without Deshaun, I can't see him as a top 15 tight end. I think he's a player that could move more in rankings with the appealing.
Yeah, I hear you. And Rob, I would be remiss if I didn't say if we could kind of pick your brain as our resident attorney here. But, you know, you kind of can give us the cliff notes on what the NFLPA is saying they may do here, because I know that there's some ramifications with this appeal coming down.
Yeah, so what we're hearing from the NFLPA is that they are going to remove this case and bring it in federal court, which would hopefully pull it out of Goodell's jurisdiction. I haven't thoroughly analyze the new collective bargaining agreement. But as of right now, when Goodell appealed it, he basically can serve as the judge unless he appoints a third party to do so. So right now, I think what the NFLPA wants to stop from happening is a six-game suspension coming down, Goodell intervening, serving as his own judge, and putting, you know, a 1 year or an indefinite suspension on Deshaun after a judge has already ruled it's six games.
I appreciate that. In other news, I did want to talk about Tim Patrick, the great Tim Patrick in Denver going down with a torn ACL, being one of the bigger, at least injuries so far that we've had. Hopefully these dominoes don't continue to fall and we have a little bit of a slower, knock on wood, training camp. But Santiago, I'm very curious in what you think from a mathematical perspective. So everybody is pushing Courtland Sutton up the rankings, and there he's pushing into round four, round five in ADP. What are you thinking about the other pass catchers? Are there some impact for Judy? What about KJ Hamler?
I was a big fan of Patrick during the offseason, I guess, until very, very recently. I thought he could have emerged as a number two in that offense, especially with Russ throwing the balls. So I think just both Sutton and Judy are going to be beneficiaries. I think Patrick was better than given credit for. So he was going to eat into their workloads a lot. So now that he's unfortunately not going to be playing, Judy and Sutton both should go up in the rankings and the ADP, in my opinion.
I hear it. And so the last thing I wanted to talk about was another wide receiver, and that is the fact that the reports are that Deontay Johnson and the Steelers are still far apart in his hold-in for camp. Rob, do you feel like there's some impact here? Is this hold in, could extend closer to the season with a new quarterback situation there in Pittsburgh?
I would imagine it will continue. And frankly, the Steelers' MO, I don't think Deontay Johnson's going to get paid from them. I think this results in him walking in free agency next year or being tagged, depending on their cap situation. But I don't think it will ultimately affect the play. I think Mitch Trubisky will affect his play more than anything.
Yeah, I hear you. It's one of those questionable guys in those mid rounds from a wide receiver perspective. Of where does he fall? JJ, back to you. Let's talk about some rookies, my friend.
Well, last episode, Matt Donnelly from Dynasty Vipers joined us to talk QBs and tight ends. Now, if you missed the episode, please check it out on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. But tonight, we're going to turn our attention to the rookies. And in the dynasty world, managers tend to focus on rookies a bit to their own detriment. I was listening to the SGPN Fantasy Football podcast with our friend Dave and his guest Marcus Grant. And Marcus said that Dynasty Twitter is always preparing for a season that never comes. And I thought about that. And I was like, oh, that really hits a little too close for home for me. And I think I played most of my dynasty career always preparing for the rookies that are going to happen next year, right? So tonight, what we wanted to do is focus on rookies who we think are going to make a year one impact on your rosters. Don't reach for the guys who are going to sit on your bench. These are guys who are going to step into your starting rosters and deliver for you. Now, after we hear about who we picked for our rookies, we're also going to check on the current yardage props on DraftKings, or if a prop total wasn't available, we're going to go to Fantasy Pros projections to get a sense of where we think they're going to finish. Does that make sense, everyone?
Yeah.
All totally. Right. Well, then let's kick it off with Mauricio. Who do you have for us, buddy?
I love Sky Moore, man. It's like my summer crush this year. And I don't care if it was the 13th wide receiver selected in the NFL draft. I think he's a wide receiver that fits the chief offense almost to perfection. He's elusive. He can create yards after the catch, can play in the slot, in the outside. And we know Kansas City has 53.4% of available targets. And I don't care if Juju Smith-Schuster is there and Marquez Valdez-Scantling is there. I think he can produce right away, even if Juju Smith-Schuster, we're projecting him as the wide receiver one of Patrick Mahomes.
Interesting. So let me ask you a question. A lot of people have sudden, like Sky Moore is shooting up the ranks. I'm excited for Sky Moore. Outside of injury, why won't he make an impact this year? Like, why wouldn't he?
He won't be what I want him to be if Marques Valdes-Scantling can step up. And I don't think he can, because he, in the past, he has been linked to a very good quarterback program, the best QB in the NFL in Aaron Rodgers. And all people are expecting to be another Marques Valdes-Scantling because he's receiving passes or catching passes from Pat Mahomes. So I don't see it, but if Marques Valdes-Scantling can do it, then it's in detriment of Sky Moore. Totally.
Yeah, I would say, right? And you can even see that in the ADP with Sky Moore going at 130. MVS is going at 133, right? They're right in that same neighborhood. Now, Mauricio, right now, Fantasy Pros has Sky projected for 625 receiving yards. Are you going over, under 625?
I'm going over, man. I'm going over.
All right. What about you, Rob?
I love that. And just to add on what Mauricio said, it's not like Sky Moore is some scrub prospect. Yeah, he came from an FCS school. I was hoping he wouldn't land in a situation as friendly as Kansas City for dynasty purposes. I have zero shares of him now, unfortunately, after all my rookie drafts. I'm slamming the over. He is JJ Zacharyson's second highest rated FCS prospect of all time, behind only Cooper Kupp. And I mean, I'm buying into that, not being able to watch a whole lot of his college film. I'm buying into to scouts that I trust and analysts that I trust. And I was all in before the landing spot.
All right. So we're definitely going on the over for Sky Moore. Next up, who do you have for us, Santiago?
Chris Olave, wide receiver for the Saints. I gotta preface this by saying I don't watch college football. It's very hard to watch college football while in Mexico, and I'm not huge on college football, but I do know the stats, and I have looked at the stats. And actually, at Broto Fantasy, we have, the Fantasy Football by Broto app, and one of the features is the comp tool, where we take statistical analysis of their measurables or college seasons, everything, and we get some similar players that have been in the NFL. Now, Olave's comps are Percy Harvin, Jamar Chase, Nelson Agholor, Jerry Jeudy, and Avery. I've never heard of Avery, to be honest, but the other four sound really nice, in my opinion. So that's exactly what you want to see when you're looking at the comps. Some decent percentages, the percentages, how similar they actually are. You're never going to get super high. And he's part of the new facelifted wide receiver core for the New Orleans Saints. And I think this is a great spot for him. His ADP is a little bit steep, in my opinion. His value is dependent on the Jarvis Landry undervalueness at the moment. So I do think he can be an impact rookie. Just beware where you're drafting him.
All right. Now, DraftKings currently has set the over-under for Chris Olave at 719.5 receiving yards. Are you going the over or the under?
Is that how you pronounce his last name? I'm sorry, I've been mispronouncing the whole time, like Olave Olave.
You can pronounce it any way you want to.
Not so sure about that, but I'm going with the over. Just around 800 should be attainable, in my opinion.
Justin, where are you on the over under at 719.5?
So I think he goes over that number. I think he's clearly going to be the number two pass catcher in this offense now that Michael Thomas is back. I love Chris Olave. I was kind of upset at San Diego for jumping into Chris Olave before I could grab him. He's a guy, I actually would give him a comp to a guy that came out of Ohio State not too long ago, and Terry McLaurin. They have similar athletic profiles and they're similar size. And I'm very high on that athletic profile of Terry McLaurin. So I think going into a season where Jameis Winston's going to be throwing the ball, we don't know what's going to probably happen with Alvin Kamara. There could be more passing volume in that offense. So I love it. And I think a smash on the over for 719.
Now, Santiago, outside of injury, why is Chris Olave not going to?
I think the scenario where he doesn't reach those totals that we are envisioning and doesn't deliver is where Michael Thomas and both Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry go back to their primes magically, because they were both, like, Michael Thomas was the wide receiver one, Jarvis Landry was a very solid wide receiver for many years. So if they come back close to the prime and he gets dropped to the wide receiver three for Jameis Winston, I think he could not pan out this year.
Very good. All right, Rob, who are you coming in strong with?
I am a Rashad White truther this year. I was a big fan pre-draft. I was worried he wouldn't get the draft capital that he ultimately got. He's been comped to David Johnson. Of course, it means he's got a great receiving profile. And of course, it means he would land in a Bruce Arians, I'm not sure if you can call it offense anymore, but Bruce Arians front office. He's one of two players out of college to post a yards per team play of 2.2 yards and to have a best season reception share of 20%. The other player being Christian McCaffrey. He's already in elite company, even coming out of GECO, even being a late breakout. I'm willing to buy into the hype and that receiving profile out of college, especially since it feels like so many backs this year are lacking that receiving upside if they have the requisite size. The narratives at a camp, we've got, you know, some pro, some anti Rashad White takes. We've got Fat Lenny. He seems to slim down a little bit. That seems to be going away. Everyone always beats the drum that Bruce Arians hates rookies. Well, Bruce Arians gone. Bruce Arians coaching tree's there. It's yet to be seen if Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles are going to feel the same way about using rookies. I think at worst, he's a handcuff with elite upside, and he will get mixed in a healthy dose in games. At best, I'm expecting something Ronald Jones-ish. It sounds grosser than it looks, but if you look 2 years ago, so last year, Ronald Jones was RB 58 on the year with a 20% snap share. But 2 years ago, he was the RB 15 with a 32% snap share. And I don't think somewhere between a 25 and 30% snap share for Rashad White is unreasonable. I have Rashad White a little bit ahead of his ADP and player rank. I think he finishes the year at about RB 40, and right now he's being taken as the RB 48. So there's some value, but that puts him right into the last 2 years of what Ronald Jones has accomplished.
So Rob, Fantasy Pros has him projected for 573 total yards. Are you over or under 573 for Rashad White this year?
I'm smashing the over. I have him at about 700 yards and 15 receptions.
Going with the over. Mauricio, what do you think?
Oh, man. For me, Rashad White, it's a tough one. I have some issues with him. I love him as a player, but I think pass protection issues can left him on the bench. So... can I make a push? Not over or under? Just right in the
land
direction?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. We'll have a push on that one for 573.
I love the antagonist, though, Mauricio. That's what we're looking for. I like it.
Yeah, man. Sorry, well, but...
you know, it is a major concern, especially when you have a vet like Tom Brady who requires his running backs to get their head in there. We might have to hope that he gets a little bit more playing time on early downs than necessarily just that third down passing work. But Rob, what scenario would have to happen for Rashad White not to finish as high as you want him to?
Well, I'm expecting exactly what you said. I think he's going to be mixed in early downs with Leonard Fournette taking the third down role. Last year, he is atrocious. He's probably one of the worst pass protectors in this class, even though he has the size to absolutely do it. Tom Brady's not going to have a high tolerance for that. So he could find himself on the short end of the stick because of that. But if Gio Bernard, who seemingly wasn't used last year, steps in and takes the third down role, then I'm all of a sudden very worried for Rashad White. Because if Gio's taking the third downs and the two-minute drill offense, Leonard Fournette's going to be taking most of the early down work, and that's going to cut in severely into Rashad White's playing time. So I think Gio Bernard is his biggest threat into getting a high snap share this year.
Still shocked that Gio Bernard did not get more run last year. man, I thought he was going to do better in that first year with
Tom. I bought in with you everywhere, my friend. Bought in.
All right, Justin, who do you have for us?
So I wanted to start this one off with Isaiah Spiller, my guy that came to my Los Angeles Chargers in the fourth round. I thought he was a steal in the fourth round for the Chargers, actually. I think he had more of a third-round grade. If he hadn't ran a 4.640 at the combine, then I think he was going to be higher up on draft boards. He's a true three-down guy. He showed that at Texas A&M. He's one of the guys in college I'm really excited about because he didn't get overused in college, so he wasn't kind of ran into the ground. The Chargers gave 560 opportunities to running backs last year. That was 443 carries and around 120 targets. Obviously, we want Austin Eckler to get his 100 targets every year because he's going to be a fantasy darling. But that leaves another 20, 30 targets for the running backs and the 443 carries. As Eckler has said himself, he doesn't want to really go over 200 that often. So there's a lot of opportunity here. And so I think Isaiah Spiller has a very good chance to carve out a big-time role and to be a standalone value for fantasy this year from a flex perspective and in deeper leagues, maybe even your RB2. He's a guy you can steal in like the 10 to 12 rounds, depending on how big your league is. And I think he's really going to do really well with that offensive line and the threat of Herbert behind center. So Isaiah Spiller's a win all day for me here.
All right, Justin. Well, Fantasy Pros has Spiller projected for 621 total yards. Should I assume the over for you?
I'm going to go over because I think it's going to be close. I think that number is really, really good. So I'm going to go over, but that's a really, that's an aggressive line.
It is amazing when you start looking at lines and the similarities between DraftKings and Fantasy Pros is very eerie. And I guess that's how they make their money, right? Getting them right there on the line. So Santiago is somebody who looks at the numbers. Are you over or under on 621 total yards?
I'm going with the under, but not by a lot. Because I think we've seen what the handcuffs to Austin Eckler do. And the production is just not there, I don't think, to get that 600 milestone. So let's go with 550, in my opinion. Just under, but not by a lot.
Justin, what would have to happen? What would be the scenario that would happen in LA that would cause Isaiah Spiller not to live up to your expectations?
I think it would be that the training camp hype that he's getting right now is just it, training camp hype, and that Joshua Kelly and Larry Roundtree stay involved and it becomes a really just melting pot of who's the hottest hand to spell Austin Eckler. So I think, you know, that's really the only thing I think that holds him back, because the offensive line and the offense is going to be there and there's opportunity to gain. It's just that he can't beat out those other two guys, the fourth rounder in Kelly and the fifth rounder in Roundtree.
It definitely seems like they have been searching for the 1B or the second back for quite a few years, right? Since Melvin Gordon left.
Ever since Gordon left, yeah.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to take a minute to remind you that we are giving away a signed DeAndre Swift Lions jersey to a lucky listener. All you need to do is go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review. When we reach 100, we will draw a winner. So we're about halfway there. If you want this sweet, sweet jersey, it's powder blue. It's gorgeous. All you have to do is leave a review. All right, Mauricio, you are up next, sir.
Okay, let's go. The most obvious rookie to have immediate impact this season, Breece Hall.
Woo.
But is it that obvious? Right now, he's ADP. It's running back 24. Two-ish in some casual leagues, but I think he has top 12, top 15 upside. He's a bell cow. I have no doubt about it. At least 285 touches in each of his last two seasons in Iowa State. He's explosive. He's a talented running back. He has vision to be a great running back in the NFL, and the Jets didn't invest so high in him to keep him warming in the bench, right? Mike Lace projects him to have 275 touches. I think could be top 12 easily with that volume. And I don't care about Michael Carter. Michael Carter, yeah, it's going to be involved, but mostly in the passing game. Michael Carter is not what we expected to be last year, and he's not a three-down running back.
No, I appreciate that. I'm excited for Breece Hall as a Jets fan. Now, DraftKings, Mauricio, set the over-under on his rushing yards only, at 830.5.
Over. For me, it's going to be almost 950, probably.
Oh, that would be wonderful to have another 1,000-yard back in the... back in New York, wouldn't it? Rob, where are you?
I'm a huge Breece Hall fan. I am a little scared about Michael Carter taking the third down role. I think Breece Hall has first and second down all day. I am a little cautious, but I think I just sneak in on the over. I think he'll have over 800 yards, 900 yards this year.
The double over. I like that. Mauricio, what would have to happen in New York for this not to come true?
The NFL suspend the season because of Martians conquering the earth.
I love it. That's how sure you are.
Yeah. I like
still think you could put up yards if the Martians.
And his ADP, it's a bargain right now.
That's awesome. The only, I do get a little bit nervous about the San Francisco roots. And Tevin Coleman being there. I know. But if Tevin Coleman gets like 10% of the carries.
Yeah.
Like that starts to eat into that total.
Yeah.
It's the only way I'm nervous. But
Tevin Coleman and then Michael Carter on third down.
Right. Yeah. So that's it though. That and the fact that Zach Wilson might be the worst quarterback in the NFL, which will drag this team to hell. Santiago. You are up next, my friend.
Right. So this is the prospect I'm most excited about. And coincidentally, the one that has the lowest ADP out of my three. And that's something I do not understand. Like outright, he's my favorite. And lowest ADP, it's just a wild combination to me. So right now, as it stands, the depth chart is... For the Dallas Cowboys is Lamb is number one, Gallup is number two, and Tolbert is number three. But Gallup right now is on the PUP list. So if he continues on the PUP list and start the season off the PUP list, he's not eligible to return to the week seven. So that's 6 weeks with Tolbert as a wide receiver too for Dak Prescott, who is, as we know, a pretty decent quarterback, to say the least. Now, when you look at the Tolbert's comps on the Fantasy Football by Broto app, you got Sidney Rice, Marquise Lee, not very exciting, but then Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson, and when you know it, Michael Gallup. So if there's someone that can fill that role for the six, seven weeks, even longer, we don't know how, like the extent of the recovery for Michael Gallup. He is the de facto wide receiver too for Black Prescott with very favorable comps. I'm all over Tolbert as in the wide receiver 67 in the 18th round with potential to be top wide receiver three. And for fantasy wide receiver, top 36 is what I'm meaning. This is the prospect I'm hanging my hat on this season.
Well, then I don't even know why I'm going to ask you this, but I have to. Fantasy Pros has him projected for 655 yards.
Oh, come on. I think if the cards fall right, and this is a more of a bolder prediction, I'm going for he has the potential to have 1,000 yards as a rookie, right? So, if I'm more moderate, I say 800. It's still way over what they said.
It kind of feels, Justin, like you have to smash the over on this one, right? James Washington's out for the year. Gallup's hurt.
Yeah, I think you do. I wonder if that line's going to change next week with James Washington's injury just becoming more commonplace and people start betting that line up. But I can't. I was going to try to go under here and just be an antagonist against Santiago on Tolbert. But, like, with James Washington out and Gallup's not going to play, I mean, somebody's got to catch the ball. Schultz and everyone still left healthy got a bump.
Yeah, and you have to figure that Dallas offense is going to be high scoring. They generally are. I mean, Dak generally throws for a lot of yards. Somebody has to catch them. Now, Santiago, and I know you're not going to be able to come up with this easily, but what would have to happen for this not to come true?
I mean, we know the rookie wide receivers are not the ones that adapt fastest to the NFL. Rookie running backs are more relevant to fantasy in the first season. So if Tolbert just starts slow and isn't able to get that connection and translate to the NFL as quick as I thought, doesn't take advantage of the free 6 weeks as wide receiver two and just falls behind Gallup when he comes back, he would not hit the what I'm expecting. However, I do think that's unlikely.
All right. I will take that.
It would be interesting just to add if they decide to take Gallup off of the PUP just to not lose him for 6 weeks, if he's showing that he could potentially return after four. That would be the only other thing. But I agree with you, Santiago, for sure.
And they can support three wide receivers. So, I don't know. I'm kind of excited for him there. And actually, one of our listeners, Albert Mariquin, asked about Jalen Tolbert. So I hope you got the answers you were looking for, sir. Who is up next? That would take us to Rob. Rob, who do you have for us?
I have Tyrion or a Ty Davis Price, depending on what website you take a look at. I am an LSU fan. Once I get some decorations for my new office here, you will see Joe Burrow behind me. I've got some more LSU swag to put up on the wall. As an LSU fan, I'm not sure how TDP got drafted so high in the third round. He didn't do a ton at LSU. He couldn't beat out lower-end recruits. Last year was his first 1,000-yard season, and the guy's never had more than 10 receptions in a year. I'm saying all these negative things to talk about a guy who I think is going to produce right away. But a quote that I thought was interesting for Ty Davis Price was San Francisco's coaching staff liked the way he bullied over defenders in the fourth quarter of SEC games at the college level, and they pictured him as a finisher. And what I think that means is he's the clear number two to Elijah Mitchell. Elijah Mitchell isn't built for a three-down role in the NFL. He's a little on the slender side. It means Price is going to come in. Davis Price is going to come in and get the goal line touches. He's going to get the short yardage work. And he's not slow by any means. He's got 4.48 speed. I think he has a chance to rip a lot of those short yardage situations in a stacked box for big gains and only have a safety to bring him down. And I think he's going to earn the coach's staff trust and work into the mix beyond just short yardage situations and goal line work.
All right. Now, TDP comes in with the lowest Fantasy Pros projected yards of our 12. They have him projected for 226.2 total yards. Over under, Rob.
I didn't check this line before I jumped on the pod today. I was hoping it would be an easy one like this. I got to smash the over. I mean, these are all guys we're beating the drum for. I was afraid the stats were going to be at like 500-600 yards. And man, that would not be a bet I'm making in Kyle Shanahan's backfield at that point. But 200 something yards all day. I mean, shoot, he can put that together in the first 2 weeks of the season if the cards play right. Who knows what Kyle Shanahan's going to do? He rides the hot hand, and Ty Davis Price can certainly get hot, and he can certainly rip off some big plays.
Mauricio, where are you? 226.
Charon Davis Price is one of my favorite targets in last rounds this year. Give me the over.
Going with the over. So, Rob, why won't TDP hit?
It's a Kyle Shanahan backfield. Who knows? The Athletic is saying that Jeff Wilson's the number two right now. NBC came out this week and said that Ty Davis Price is the number two. Last year, number two on the depth chart at this time was Trey Sermon, who probably didn't put up 200 yards last year. It's a mess. So if Jeff Wilson comes in and is that short yardage guy and can actually stay healthy for an entire season, then it becomes a lot harder to you know, be a producer, be someone who you can start on your fantasy team.
Well, I do have to say, there was a tweet today I saw from a beat writer saying that Trey Sermon is in the best shape of his life and is earning the coaching staff's trust.
Whatever that means.
And then they mentioned another gentleman, an undrafted rookie. I don't know what his name was.
Jordan Mason. He's been getting Jordan a lot of love in camp. Yep.
So for me, what San Francisco could absolutely San Francisco the hell out of TDP and give carries to so many guys that nobody ends up being relevant.
And I think it's worth noting that Trey Lance and Deebo will also take some carries this year. Trey Lance obviously is going to carry the ball a lot more than Jimmy Garoppolo. But I do think that opens up bigger chunk plays for anyone touching the ball out of the backfield.
All right. Well, Ronnie is chiming in asking if he missed the Sky Moore segment. We all agreed Sky Moore is going to bust this year, Ronnie. None of us like him. So yes, you did miss that. Justin, you are up next.
Yeah, we're going from the West Coast over to the East Coast to the Fighting Carson Wentz and the Washington Commanders to Jahan Dotson. So I love Jahan Dotson when he was at Penn State. I was probably a little bit surprised, just like the rest of us, when he went 16th overall. But I think he projects really well to be a long-term wide receiver option for a NFL team. You know, hopefully that's Washington. It's where they brought him in. There's not a lot of competition there, right? Curtis Samuel, we've been waiting on him to do something for a long time. He had his one good year, and then he kind of went back to the injury bug. You would hope he stays healthy. We're always wishing that, right? But we never know with him. Gandy Golden, who they drafted a couple of years ago, is now out of the league. Cam Sims is a great possession guy, but you know, you're not going to really expect a whole lot. So from my perspective, I really think that Jahan Dotson plays a really good role for this offense, and he gives Carson Wentz someone who can separate in those short to intermediate routes and get open and be a sure-handed guy that can move the sticks, where Terry McLaurin's going to be more of the big play guy. So I think Jahan Dotson, for me, is much more important from a PPR perspective. He's not going to be a huge touchdown guy, but he's going to be somebody that is really safe and will get that, you know, 6 to 8 target range that can be a really good flex and potentially upgrade into a wide receiver 3, depending on how that offense progresses.
Okay, now, Justin, DraftKings has set the over-under at 611.5 receiving yards.
That's another great line. I'm going to go over just because I'm beating the drum for the guy. You would think that Carson Wentz needs to have the year of his career, and not that this is a segment about Carson Wentz, but he has got to – if he doesn't get it done this year, he's going to be a career backup for the rest of his career. And so – you know, I would expect him to go over hopefully 4,000 yards in a 17-game season. And if that's the case, Jahan Dotson has to go over 600 for this team to be successful.
Now, for a mathematician, Santiago, Justin just showed his work. He told us exactly why he was going with the over. What do you think?
I think Dotson's a very talented player, but we've seen, like I already stated, that the receivers take some time to get accustomed to the NFL and transition and become the players are going to be in the future. So this is not for dynasty. This is for redraft. I think he's going to hit the under on that prop. Not by a lot. Again, maybe around 500. I think Samuel, as a veteran presence, is going to get a bigger role to start the year, even maybe maintain it throughout the middle of the season. So, yeah, I'm going with the under.
All right. I like that. I like taking offense. Justin. What would have to happen? What would be the scenario for Dotson not to live up to your expectations?
Because his profile is such a prolific pass catcher, like his hands are so good, I really think the only thing that keeps Jahan Dotson out from not hitting that line is Carson Wentz imploding or an injury. I really feel that strongly about his skill set and being able to catch the ball. He's got 600 yards is not that much in a 17-game season. So if he's healthy and Carson Wentz doesn't completely implode, he's going to hit it.
Yeah, I love Dotson. I mean, he went Penn State, which is local. He went to a high school, which is right next door to where I live. Great player, great young man. I really hope it works out. The only thing I can see a healthy Curtis Samuel, who missed a lot of time, I think all of last year with an injury, coming back and showing what he was when they signed him, could hurt Dotson, but I think Dotson smashes that over. So I'm going
to and just to add in, not to extend this too far, but some of the camp reports are saying that they're actually moving Curtis Samuel out wide to like the X spot in that offense. And so if Jahan Dotson was to clamp down this slot role, then smash.
All right. Your mouth to God's ears. Let's see it happen. All right, Mauricio, who is your last choice for today?
Oh, man. It's a very hyped rookie. I don't know if that's going crazy. The hype with James Cook, it's out of control, man. But I think it's time to pour gasoline to the fire.
Let's kick it up a notch. I like that.
I love James Cook and his role, that what he can be in Bill's offense. In college, once he have to share backfield only with Samir White, he was able to have 113 carries, average 6.7 yards per carry, had a 7.9 target share. It wasn't a lot, but we all know that he has good hands, that he's not a bell cow, that he could be used in the passing game very creatively. We saw the Bills trying to get J.D. McKissic. They didn't get him, but they drafted James Cook. That could be the same profile, the same running back profile of J.D. McKissic. He's very good in short routes, intermediate routes, can win against linebackers. And if the Bills really could be creative with him, he could be really, really productive this year.
Whew. So James Cook is Fantasy Pros likes his outlook for the year, Mauricio. This is a tough line. They haven't projected for 733.2.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Over rushing yards or total?
Total yards.
Total yards? Oh, man. I'm a little bit worried about those total yards because we have Stefon Diggs and we have Gabriel Davis, hyped Gabriel Davis, and now we have Isaiah McKenzie and Dawson Knox. Yeah, this is a prolific offense. I'm going to say under on yards, but expect at least 6 touchdowns from James Cook, and that could be a solid running back 3 this year.
Well, the 6 TDs would definitely be over the projection, so that would make up the difference. Rob, over under.
I think Mauricio summed it up right. It's a tale as old as time. A rushing quarterback and a running back that doesn't get receptions from the rushing quarterback. I'm scared about James Cook. I'm taking the under. I need to see it on the field before I'm willing to buy in. I like him as a prospect. I'm just worried that he won't be used properly in this Bills offense. And Devin Singletary seemed to emerge late last season and should have a stranglehold on the early down work.
Well, gentlemen, that was our first double under. I have double U down here. W, maybe for JJ Wenner, maybe just a win. I'm not sure why we have the double U's, but that is where we are. Santiago, who do you have for us?
I have George Pickens for us to wrap up my picks. And for him, my thought process is a lot of trust in the Steelers drafting of wide receivers and scouting of wide receivers in the past. We've seen their strategy of drafting, not extending necessarily, letting go, and then drafting the replacement of since Santonio Holmes, Hines Ward even, then Brown, then Juju, then Deontay, etc. And now Deontay's on the way out. They have the young guys, Claypool and Pickens. And I do trust that department, but I also trust myself. And two of the top 5 comps we have for Pickens at Roto are Michael Thomas and CeeDee Lamb, which are very good comps to have. So you can see the profile lines up with what we've seen and what lines up with what NFL teams think. So I think, yeah, he's poised for a wide receiver 3 role. sneaking in as a two in that offense is going to be tough to break through the depth chart. And since the QB situation is not necessarily ideal, that's, I'm getting ahead of myself with the drawback. But just the profile and the team dynamics are there for him to be a value at the 15th, 16th round where he's being drafted.
All right. So Fantasy Pros Santiago has Pickens projected for 589 receiving yards. Over or under?
I'll go over, but not by much. So 650 is, I think, a reasonable projection for him. We've seen wide receiver threes in that offense, not necessarily with these quarterbacks, that is just a small caveat, produce at a higher level. And now we have a 17-game season, right? So those extra yards in that last game also help us towards the over. Sorry.
Okay. So we're going with the over. Justin, do you agree with Santiago?
Under. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Steelers offense. You know, it was interesting. I was watching the NFL Network and Training Camp Live the other day. The Steelers have 2/3 of their salary cap spent in defensive players and the defensive side of the ball. The highest paid offensive player I believe they currently have is Chris Bosworth, who is their kicker, from a skill position standpoint. So that's crazy, right? One. And two, I just don't really know who's going to be the quarterback. And I could really anticipate a lot of change in that offense, obviously because of the quarterbacks, but I could see them going to a more two tight end set, trying to be a little bit more run heavy and trying to be a little bit more game management because Mike Tomlin wants to get to the playoffs and has the defense in which to get to the playoffs. So I don't think it's George Pickens' talent that's going to keep him on the under. It's more of just the situation.
Okay. Okay, so we have an under. Interesting. Santiago, what would have to happen in Pittsburgh? I know you alluded to it, for Pickens to bust, to not work out this
year. Right, yeah. Justin is not wrong. The QB situation is the biggest drawback. And if they implode, like we've seen Steelers QBs do in the past, not named Ben Roethlisberger, when he missed time, now he's missing a lot of time. So if the QB situation does not get sorted out in a decent manner, he could just take a hit, be a wide receiver, a forgotten third option, fourth option rather, in that offense in the passing game and just not produce at all to the levels we want.
Makes sense to me. I can't argue with that. I like Pickens. I like what he has shown so far in camp. I think with DJ acting, holding in, as we said, he might get a chance to shine a little bit earlier than we thought. Hopefully he steps up. I love seeing rookies perform. Rob, who is your last guy?
My last guy is Drake London, probably the most talented of the three players I've discussed today. Simply put, he's the best wide receiver prospect in the class, and he lands on a team that needs a ton of help, not just at wide receiver, but everywhere. The Falcons offense isn't an ideal landing spot for a fantasy rookie, but it isn't hard to imagine that Drake London ends up with the largest target share out of all the rookies at wide receiver this year. His toughest sell for me right now is he's going as the 39th wide receiver off the board. I have a hard time taking rookies, especially in the late seventh round at his ADP. I currently have him a few spots behind that. I know JJ is going to bring up the Vegas line in a minute, but his Vegas line converted to standard league fantasy points is 103.5 points. That would put him at wide receiver 40 last year, basically exactly at his ADP and 0.1 more than Tim Patrick last year, who finished at wide receiver 40. That's also not a lot of points per game. It's only 6.5 points per game. So I know I'm hyping him up here at his ADP. I'm probably out unless he slips. He's a guy I'm looking for early mid-season to acquire in a trade and redraft leagues for the home stretch run. I imagine the 103.5 fantasy points that he scores, a large portion of that, like most rookie wide receivers, will come on the back half of the season, and that's when he's really going to be valuable for your roster. I worry that, you know, weeks 1 through 4, 1 through 6, he's going to be a big roster clog.
So you know the line, 764.5. Are you going over or under then?
I will take the over, just because I think it's a Drake London, Kyle Pitts show. I don't mind some of the ancillary pieces they brought in. I think Cordarrelle Patterson's not bad. It seems like he's going to be playing more wide receiver this year. But I think for the most part, it's a two-man show, and he's going to absolutely be a target hog on what looks to be a pretty poor offense. But I will imagine that they're going to be in some shootout situations. I mean, they're going to get boat raced by the Bucks at least twice a year amongst, you know, probably 26 other teams that can run up the score on them. They will be playing from behind a lot, and I think that will bode well for his ultimate yardage situation.
Mauricio, where are you? 764.5, over or under?
I'm going with the over. I agree with Rob. There are a lot of targets over there. It's a two-man show with Kyle Pitts and Dre Loughlin. Give me the over.
All right. Justin, you have one more for us, don't you?
Yeah, I figured I'd close it with a guy who could potentially bring a lot of dubs to your team this coming fall, and that is Romeo Doubs here in Green Bay. You know, everybody's heard it, right? Christian Watson's on the PUP list. There's 220 targets that were vacated last year. I hate vacated targets as a stat most of the time, but you can't really turn your head on 220 of them. So he's getting raved out of camp. And when Aaron Rodgers is talking about a wide receiver getting his attention, you kind of have to pay attention to that because he doesn't say it that often. He was a guy that had a really good athletic profile coming out of Nevada. He had back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons in college, fourth-round pick, so he doesn't have a ton of draft capital, but decent enough to where he's going to get a shot. And with Christian Watson on that PUP list, he's getting those very important early training camp snaps that are going to be huge for him to get involved in an offense that needs pass catchers. So I think where he's going in drafts, I think it's just a steal because he's free. You can pick him up on the waiver wire. I mean, you don't even really have to use a last round draft pick, but I would suggest you do, especially if you're going to be drafting here in the next few weeks.
So Dubs has a Fantasy Pros projection of 287 yards. I'm assuming you're hitting the over.
I'm going to go bet that when we get off of here.
Well, that's just a projection. DraftKings did not have a line for it. All right, so you are smashing the over. I had already written over down because I just assumed. Santiago, over under.
I have to agree. That's a smash on the over. Yeah, vacated targets are not a great stat, but when you have the opportunity to be maybe like separate yourself from the rest, because we've seen the rest. We've seen what the rest can do, except maybe for Christian Watson. So when you have this uncertainty and the back-to-back MVP throwing the ball, you have to bet on the talent and on the ceiling, and I think this is a definite over.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, I have to say, before we go into the next discussion, you're a very positive crew, and I appreciate that. Out of 24 possible over-unders, we had 18 overs, 5 unders, and 1 Mauricio push. So I appreciate the positivity. I am not a positive person, but I love being around positive people. So looking at DraftKings listed their top 10 favorites for offensive rookie of the year, which I thought was interesting. Now, we didn't cover 5 of them. Kenny Pickett is their favorite. We didn't talk about Treylon Burks, Garrett Wilson, Christian Watson, who we just talked a little bit about with Romeo Doubs, and Ken Walker III. Which brings me to our last round of over-under for those 5 gentlemen. Starting with you, Mauricio. Kenny Pickett, projected by Fantasy Pros for 1,931 passing yards, over-under.
I'm going with the under. Mason Rudolph plays weeks 1 to 3, then Mitch Trubisky 4 to 8, and then Kenny Pickett the rest of the way. Give me the under.
We're going with the under with the three-headed monster. Rob, over under.
I'm taking the under. I think he sits the entire year.
All right. Justin, over under?
I'm on the same page.
Under. Santiago?
I agree. I think unders the wise choice here.
All right, next up, Treylon Burks. DraftKings cares enough to give him a line. 795.5 receiving yards. Rob, over under.
I'm taking the under. I like him as a prospect, but I think he's extremely raw. I think it's going to take him a little bit to develop in the NFL, and he's already on his coach's shit list, which is never a good place to be a month or two in a camp.
Mauricio?
Give me the under.
Justin?
I'm going over. Somebody's got to get yards in that offense.
It's right? Robert Woods. Probably no Robert one. Woods. Maybe
Diago. I'm going over as well. I think he's an incredible prospect, and I do like the offense. So he has that chance, especially like I've mentioned a bunch of times with 17 games. That just pushes me over the edge towards the over.
All right, Garrett Wilson, pretty close. DK has him at 749.5. Santiago, over under 749.5.
I will go under this time. I think 600 is more his range.
Justin?
All respect to my fellow host, but under on this one because there's too many mouths to feed in New York.
Well, at least we have mouths. Mauricio?
Yeah, for me, it's going to be close, but give me an under. And by the way, I am a Elijah Moore truther all the way.
Okay. Rob, is this a clean sweep?
It is not. I'm taking the over. It does look, I saw beat writers today are saying Elijah Moore is pretty locked in as the number one. But, man, I really like Garrett Wilson as a prospect, and I think he's going to get the over.
All right. We have Stephen Hill. Oh, I'm sorry. Christian Watson, who I just think is exactly like Stephen Hill, and I'm not leaving that take. Justin. Over under 602 total yards.
Under, big time under. He's behind the eight ball big time starting off camp on the pup.
Santiago?
I'm going to pull out Mauricio and just go push on this one. I think that's a good number.
You know, if either of you hit the push, I'm going to be very, very impressed. Mauricio?
Give me the under for a rookie wide receiver to miss that much time in training camp. It's not a good sign.
Rob,
I'm with him there. I'm taking the under. He's injured. I hope it doesn't linger into the season. But there are a lot of veteran mouths that I think Aaron Rodgers trusts, and it's gonna take some time for Christian Watson to earn that trust.
Last up, gentlemen, Ken Walker III. Where do we think he's going to finish, Mauricio? Over or under 861 total yards?
Love the player. I don't love the situation. He's going to share a lot of workload with Rashad Penny. Give me the under.
Rob?
I'll take the under as well. I think Penny's going to work in, and DJ Dallas and the rest of the backfield is just going to be a thorn in our side and a very anemic offense this year that's going to have to pass a lot.
Travis Homer, let's not forget him. Justin, don't laugh at my Travis Homer love. Go ahead. Over under 861.
So is this line a Ken Walker line, or is this line a bet on whether you think Rashad Penny's getting hurt? You know, because like,
you're answering way, both questions, I think.
Either way you fall on this, over or under, go bet and hedge your bet with whether the opposite happens with Rashad Penny. That's my comment.
And Santiago?
Yeah, this is a definite under for me. I'm not a big fan of the prospect, and I think Rashad Penny is going to be a definite one in that offense, leaving very little for Ken Walker if he's healthy.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for tags, where we let everybody know where they can find us and anything that we are working on. Santiago, why don't you kick us off?
Right, you can find me at BrotoFF Casanova on Twitter. Go download the Fantasy Football by Broto app, App Store, Google Play Store, anything. It's completely free right now, so go do that.
If it's free, it's for me. Mauricio.
There you go.
Yeah, you can get me in Twitter at MGutierrezNFL and at NFL Fantasy ESP. All the fantasy football content in Spanish. And go and download NFL Fantasy, the app. You can putting out language in Spanish, totally 100% in Spanish for Spanish-speaking audience this season.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. Rob?
You can find me on Twitter and Reddit at TheRotoRob. And I'm excited that Santiago's on the show talking up George Pickens. Don, if you're listening, my asking price has gone up. I know you're a homer. I already was holding out for a lot. Suck it.
I love the dig at my buddy Don. Justin?
You can find me on Twitter at JFHornets25, and obviously each Wednesday here with my Rod Pod folks. And then I always got to give a shout out to Dave and my Dynasty dorks. So hopefully they're doing good.
They're living the big life. Thank you to Mauricio and Santiago for joining us tonight. Make sure you're following them on Twitter and utilizing their content. The Broto app is great, and everything that Mauricio is doing with NFL is top notch. You have to follow them. Thank you to Justin and Rob for helping to put together the show. You can find me on Twitter at JJ Wenner. Make sure you're checking out gridironratings.com for all of our content. Tomorrow night on Getting Defensive, Gary and I will be talking about training camp battles with our old friend, Trip Brebner from Football Guys. And next week on the Rod Pod, we welcome Ryan Hallam from the Fantasy Alarm to kick off our divisional debriefs. So from all of us to all of you, be safe, be well. And as always, boat drinks, my friends, boat drinks.